We spoke on Sunday about the first part of the parsha, specifically about the unique role that Shevet Levi played and the unique role that was given to Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi. Levi comes from Levi. Levi himself is a very unique individual. A unique individual. In the beginning, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, the two events that we have, Parshas Vayishlach and Parshas Vayeshev, we see his passion, his anger, high emotion, sometimes uncontrollable. Yaakov Avinu gave him Musar. And Yaakov Avinu was very clear with the Musar he gave him in Parshas Vayishlach. Vayomi Yaakov el Shimon vel Levi achartem osi. Endanger us. And they answered. But Yaakov Avinu was not satisfied with their answer. But Levi then did a very unique thing, and that's what separated him and elevated him above the other Shvatim. He took all that passion and anger and emotion, instead of leaving it in an undisciplined, destructive way, he turned it into Torah. He took that passion, being passion for Torah. He took that emotion, was an emotion for Torah. So 22 years after the Mechiras Yosef, what did he do? When they came down to Mitzrayim, and the first thing they did was set up a yeshiva. Who was the Rosh Yeshiva? It was Levi. He had elevated himself among his brothers because he had taken all that emotion that he had as a highly emotional individual and turned that in, and put that emotion into Torah and elevated himself. You take an emotion, take a behavior pattern, and let it destroy you, destroy other people. Or you can take that emotion and that behavior pattern and put it into constructive way and it'll elevate you. It's a Gemara at the end of Shabbos. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that someone born under a certain constellation will have this temperament and that temperament and this temperament and that temperament. It says, but it comes to Jews, ein mazel Yisrael. Has no effect on them. So there's a Tshuvas Hagonim. There's a very interesting mahalach in understanding that. Tshuvas Hagonim asks a simple question. Jews are the same as everybody else. If that's what does it mean? It doesn't affect Jews, it affects Goyim. It says, and the Tshuvas Hagonim gives a very clear directive. Every one of us are born with different emotional temperaments, different attitudes, different behavior patterns. Every human being is unique. A person who doesn't have Torah has no way of dealing with his emotions, with his attitudes, with his behavior patterns, and they just go wild. But someone who has Torah tells him which emotions, which behavior patterns, which attitudes are constructive, which are permissible, which are destructive, which are not permissible. It gives, number one, it gives you a framework for saying, listen, this is what I can develop, and this is what I have to change, and this is what I have to sublimate, and all of that. But there's something else Torah gives you. We live, according to Torah, a very disciplined life. We know that just because you see a food, you don't automatically eat it. Just because you see this, you don't automatically do it. Torah tells me a very important idea. Every time you take a piece of food, you have to ask yourself, is it mutter? Is it also? What bracha do I make? What bracha can't I make? What bracha do I make before? What bracha do I make afterwards? There's no just spontaneous, you see a piece of food. You eat it. And that's true about everything in life. Torah tells you a very disciplined approach to life. Once it tells you that disciplined approach to life, so then, it's not only in your actions, not only in your tithes, it's in your emotions, your attitude, and everything in life. Rabin writes a very interesting thing. Rabin was the most extreme of all Rishonim in the powers of Bechira Chofshis. And he said, everything in this world is subject to Bechira Chofshis except the dreams I dream at night. I can control my emotions, I control my attitudes, and there's no such thing, this is the way I feel. A number of years ago, I had a very interesting bacher who was in the yeshiva for a short period of time. He'd go by a fruit stand, and all of a sudden, the urge hit him. He'd pick up an apple off the fruit stand and keep walking. And there are other things that happen in the dormitory that So I sat him down and I said, my dear young man, you know, the Torah says, if you're walking by a fruit stand and you see and all of a sudden you get hungry for an apple, you put your hand on the apple, you're not allowed to do that. He says, well, I have a problem with impulse control, he told me. I said, yeah, that's very nice. You have a problem with impulse control, but there's low sigzol in the Torah. We have to sit down and figure out how we control that impulse control. We have to learn how to deal with it. Well, that's just me. And I said, there's no such thing as just you. You either control it, you can't be part of certainly this society, and you can't be part of any society. And one day, you're going to learn, you're going to hit in the head, and you're not going to tell the judge, well, I have a problem with impulse control. Torah says a very, very simple thing. Everything is under your control. Sometimes more difficult to control. Sometimes you have to develop the techniques to control it. But life is very disciplined. And that's exactly... People are born with different temperaments. Being born with different temperaments, Torah says... This is constructive, this is destructive. This is mutter, this is osir. Now, we have to learn how to deal with it, to develop and channel the positive aspects of my personality and build them. To take the negative ones and either reroute them or do something with them. That's why Ein Mazal Yisrael. Levi had very strong emotions and strong passions. And once Yaakov Avinu gave him the Musa that he did, he took those and he channeled them. And he used them in such a constructive way. About 22 years later, after Mechiras Yosef, he was a Rosh Yeshiva. He had taken that and built up with that passion, his passion for Torah. It's a very big Musa Haskel. We all have tremendous koichos hanefesh. We have to look at our koichos hanefesh, see which are the positive, which are the negative, which we build on, which we have to rechannel. There's no such thing as I am, well, that's the way I am. That's my true inner self or whatever nonsense that is. No. You are what you make yourself. Everyone can make himself whatever fashion or form he wants. It's a challenge, but it's a reality. That's the story of Shevet Levi. Now, after the whole story of Shevet Levi and the Mishkan, and Klal Yisrael given instructions how to move. And they begin moving. And they're on the way to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but informed Klal Yisrael. And that's something we say whenever we take the Torah out. What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Klal Yisrael a directive of how they're moving to Eretz Yisrael and what will happen in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the Hakdama to the next parsha and a half. We end up in Shlach, when we've, and the tragedy and the disaster of Parsha Shlach. Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, in his Maspik, when he talks about Bitochen, says there are three types of approaches to bitochen. Actually, he skips a fourth the Rambam has in Mor Nevuchim. A Navi leads his life on a very exalted level. He connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's connecting to the highest spiritual levels of the world. And he's still living within this world. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the end of Parshas Baal Osla, is the only Navi who is allowed to sometimes live a life that's beyond Teva. But everybody else lives, even though you're a high spiritual being, you live Lamala Minateva. In Betocha Teva, sometimes this and sometimes that. So Rabbi Avraham says, if you take a look at Eliyahu HaNavi, he was a Navi, a very high level Navi. Take a look at Shmuel HaNavi is also a high level Navi. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to be living within Teva and you have to act within Teva. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs him that no, in this aspect of your life, at this moment of your life, you'll emalim in a teva. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects him to have absolute bitochen that all the forces of nature will not affect him. And he gives a number of examples. There's an example of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he made the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says like this. Achad varmo elu hayud var Hashem al Avram b'mach zelema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him in a mar nevuah. Al tir Avram, anochi mogen loch, schorcha harbi meyod. Vayomer Avram, he says, ani holech hariri. I don't have any children. And whatever work I do, there's no one who's going to take over. Uben Meshek Basi and Eliezer is going to inherit everything. Hainly, you promised me unbelievable things, but you didn't give me any children. But Chazal tell us, Avraham Avinu said much more. It says Sarah Imenu was physically incapable of having children. Ein lo volod. So Avraham Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, but it's physically impossible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Vayotze Otso Hachutzo. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Vayotze Otso Hachutzo? Amalo. He says, Tzemit Stagnuyos Shocho. Shereiso, you saw that you can't have children within the natural world. But here is an instance that I'm telling you, I'm dealing with you, chutz mi derech ha-teva. But teva you can't have. Chutz mi derech ha-teva you will. And I guarantee you. So what does it say? Vahem im ba-Hashem. He accepted. Vayachshuo litzdaka. That means Avraham Avinu could hear that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not everyone who hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu something necessarily has 100% confidence it's going to be there. Avraham Avinu's emunah and bitochon was so great that the moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, Avraham Avinu, even though b'derech hateva, you're not going to have children, but I'm going to deal with you chutz miderech hateva. So Avraham Avinu sometimes was dealt this way and sometimes was dealt that way. So to a Navi. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, level of Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest Navi. So what does it say here? It says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, we don't have to worry about our enemies. In the natural course of events, they may be powerful, they may be almighty, whatever they may be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us he's going to take us and bring us straight in and there's not going to be a problem. So therefore we have to have absolute emunah in that because that's the way it's going to be. A normal human being, even though he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not going to treat him l'ma'ala mi'derech ha-teva. Only in one case is l'ma'ala mi'derech ha-teva. A Navi, and on the occasion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs him at that point, l'ma'ala mi'derech ha-teva. That's the big balance between Hishtadlus and Bitochon. Hishtadlus means that we're not in the level of Nevi'im. But we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything. And if I go to the doctor, I'm not allowed to say, doctor, you have nothing to tell me. I'm in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. We have to go to the doctor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a gaiva for anyone whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't informed that he's going to deal with him to assume that he's on that madrega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with him that way. No. But even if he does the derech hateva, he has to know that whether it's going to succeed or not depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now here, Klal Yisrael are moving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they don't have to worry about anything. And they keep moving. And something begins to go wrong here. And that's why there's two inverted nuns that's like brackets. And Chazal say, all of a sudden, a whole new period in the history of Klal Yisrael has begun. Why? Vahiyom kemisonanim. Again, complaining. What's this misonanim? So Rashi says they began looking for excuses. Now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, listen, you're all on a level of Nevuah, And I'm informing you, I'm doing a nes for all of you, that demands of Klal Yisrael to live on a certain level. And not everyone wants to live on that exalted level. And that's a problem. So they begin looking for excuses. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I wanted to bring you in 3 days to Eretz Yisrael. But that depends on a certain level. You don't want to live that level, it's going to take much longer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dealing with them depends on that level. On these people, it's Chutz Miderech HaTeva. How Chutz Miderech HaTeva? 3 days in Eretz Yisrael, a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael, however long. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dealing with them reflects on the level they want to lead their lives. And then all of a sudden, what does that mean? It could be hisavu. No. That means once they're living on a certain level, the taiva that they all of a sudden are going to have, we'll see it in a second, wasn't natural for them. Says they had a desire for taiva. They said, listen, why do we have to live on this exalted level? Let's live in a totally different level and enjoy this world. Even though right now I have no push, I have no drive, I have no desire for it, the concept of enjoying this world attracts me. Now we get to the most fundamental taiva that human beings have. Zocharnu es hadogo shenocha b'mitzrayim chinom. Remember the fish we ate Mitzrayim for free. So Rashi says, what do you mean for free? They didn't give him straw, they gave him food for free. Nothing's free. So Rashi says, what is chinom? Chinom in our mitzvahs. We want freedom. We don't want limitations. Es hakishuim ve'es ha'avatichim ve'es ha'chotzev ve'es ha'betzolim ve'es ha'shumim. We want onions, we want garlic, we want avatiach, whatever that is. Some say it's beet, some say it's watermelon. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. The man had the qualities of every conceivable food in the world as long as you wanted it. There were five foods the man couldn't taste like. It didn't have their properties. Because it wasn't healthy for nursing women, for pregnant women, etc. But what is the biggest taiva? To live without limitations, to have everything. Chinom, hefka. The taiva for hefka. No limitations, no controls. It's a tremendous taiva. The monk could take like every conceivable in the world except five. I want everything. Of course, Chazal talk. It's the same thing that destroyed Haman Arosha. Same thing that destroyed Adam Arishin. Adam Arishin is told, Eitz Hagan Ochol Tochol. You can eat everything. It's one thing. Eitz Hadas Hashibasol Hagan. That tree that's in the middle of the Gan. Only one thing you can't have. You can have everything in this world except one thing. What did Adam Rishon want? Everything. You can't have everything in this world. Haman. Everyone in 127 provinces bow down to him. There's one Jew who wouldn't bow down to him. One. So what are we told? What destroyed him? V'chol zeinu shovali. It's not worth anything to me. I want everything. When you want everything, you end up with nothing. People, the biggest taiva in the world is the taiva of hefker. No limitations. Anything I want. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them what they wanted. V'habosu odenu ben ha-shinayim, lest eating all this meat, they're surrounded by meat, surrounded by, and all of a sudden, this disaster hits them. Now, the moment this happens, they're setting the stage for the next thing, the story of the Meraglim, next week. Why? Kodesh Baruch Hu begins. I'm taking care of yourself. I'm treating you on a certain level. But when Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll take care of yourself in 3 days if you want that level, say we don't want quite that level, we want a slightly lower level, and then the level keeps moving down, the question is, how far do you move down? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know, I'm not going to treat you l'mala midarach hateva, and therefore you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what happens next week. We'll go into it. Next week, it's a very simple thing. When the Mapilim wanted to, but we'll go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. The only way you're going to win any war is if I'm with you. If I abandon you, you're a bunch of just freed slaves. You're not going anywhere. And when you choose not to live on a certain level, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't treat you on that level. It's not going to do l'mala midarach hateva. And even if you're on an exalted level, there's a whole ladder of levels that people live their lives on, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with them and treats them. When we talk back in terms of Shevet Levi, what did the Rambam say at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel? If you're going to live your life on a certain level, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with you on that level. There's an incredible Ramban in Kuntras Amud B'Tochen. Ramban says, when can I absolutely rely on something in B'Tochen? So he says like this. If I decide HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send into my bank account $100 million tomorrow and I have all the bitachon in the world, there's no reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make a wire transfer into my bank account of $100 million. Mechataisi, I deserve that. If a person is sincere in his avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he puts himself into it and does his maximum hishtadlis in avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees to him that he'll be able to succeed in his avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael are in a very delicate period of their lives. They were Har Sinai, and they lived their life on a certain level. And then they collapsed, Maaseh Egel. They picked themselves up, they built a Mishkan, and they're moving. And then they get pulled down. Once they get pulled down, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this ladder of dealing with them, so you're not going to hurt yourself in 3 days. It's going to take you a year. And then as they keep moving down, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I need people on a different level if I'm going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael l'mala midarach hateva. L'darach hateva, you're never going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. There's Sichon and there's Og and there's all these walled cities. You have to deserve it for me to treat you in that way. That's all of life is that way. Kodesh Baruch Hu treats us. Chaim Voloshin writes, Hashem Tzilcho. What does that mean? It's like your shadow. It's like your image. It says, compares it like a mirror. the way I deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with me. It means Hashem Tzilcho Agad Yiminecha. So the more I live my life on a certain level, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with me on a certain way. That's the story of Chal Yisrael in the Midbar. And that's why it's the second Chumash. The second Chumash is before Chal Yisrael tumbled and after they tumbled. Before they're moving and they're Vahiben Zaron, Vayom Moshe, Kum Hashem Yofutzo Yvecha, then crash. Why Hesavu Tavo? They didn't have the Taiva, they desired Taiva. They said, we don't want to live, at this point, we don't need all these things. But there's a taiva called hefker. Got to have everything. No limitations. Hashem Baruch Hu says, there's no such thing. And that's what destroys everyone. It's the biggest taiva that we have. The taiva for hefker. Destroyed Adam Harishon. Had to live life without limitations. Destroyed Haman HaRasha. And it brought Klal Yisrael down and through the entire process of the Meraglim and the like. And person has to be very, said in the beginning of the Shmuz, we have absolute Bechira Chavshus to do what we want. And if I can't now, I have to work on it. I have to change myself. And if a person says, well, I have a problem with impulse control, there's no such thing. Torah said, control your impulses. Control yourself. And if you, when you just take the most glaring example of this young man, if he walked, he would walk into a room in the dormitory that was no one else was there, and he would get an impulse to take someone's wallet. Well, I have a problem with impulse control. Same way he walked by a fruit stand. I have a problem picking an apple off the fruit stand. No such thing. You have a problem. The problem solves the problem. That is the biggest nesayon we have in life, to look at ourselves honestly, see what's positive about our personalities, what's negative about personalities, what has to be changed, what are the steps we're going to do to change it. When Klal Yisrael fell here, it's because they didn't want to get control of themselves. That's the story of everybody's life, what destroys people in the end, and what builds them in the end. You control yourself, see what's positive, see what you have, can get anything you want in this world. From the other hand, you don't want to do that, you just want to go with the flow. In the end, people destroy themselves totally and completely.